today is transforming your leadership character.
The second question is from Alexander F., and he says, can Scrum sprints be integrated in classical PM waterfall framework? Can they somehow cooperate? I would say, you know, all agile teams working on sprint boundaries may integrate with other waterfall projects. There's just a coordination activity that needs to take place between the Scrum teams, the agile teams, as well as the waterfall teams. The other thing is that you could leverage a Scrum of Scrum meetings, which would help to really facilitate the discussions about dependency and risk. So yeah, because you're doing Agile or doing Scrum, it does not mean that you still mitigate or walk away from the realities that you have dependencies and risk. So yes, you still have to meet and talk about those. Two more questions, and it's from the same person, Cosette R. I thought he came up with two interesting questions, and it says, what would be the best approach to transitioning to an Agile role if you have never been a Scrum Master but have advanced to a Program Manager in the traditional waterfall world? I would say go after, you know, some certification in one of the Agile frameworks. You know, PMI obviously have one called the PMI ACP. You have this the Certified Scrum Master, the Safe Practitioner, right? But I said if you're already working on the program level, you may look at the Safe Program Consultant. I'm an SBC, and which will give you insights into agility at scale for the enterprise. So that's an option for you to look into. And the last question from Cosette, it says, is it true that not all projects are good candidates for Agile? And if yes, what are the characteristics of those projects? Well, I'll just tell you that I believe all projects can benefit from Agile practices, but you know, some of them are not real good fits for Scrum. There's all the concept of Kanban, which can be used to help the teams measure and model work to make sure that we have like WIP constraint, work in progress constraints. So those are a tool, and I'm giving you a simple example. If you're a support team, for example, you may not build a product, but you have certain activities and things that you would like to do and accomplish. So, you know, having stand-ups and retrospectives, some of those different ceremonies would certainly benefit you as an organization. And a Kanban board would help you to throttle the amount of work that's out there that you have for your team. But so that's it for Echoes. And every month when we come back, you know, after this presentation, I would also give you an update for the next question. Anything, Curtis, that you want
to
add?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to respond to Alexander a little bit earlier, talking about the integration of Agile with Waterfall. In fact, one of the contracts that we're at right now, we're doing that. Essentially, we're embedding the sprints inside of Waterfall. They're calling it Scrumfall, which is sort of a bit of a laugh, but we joke about that. But nonetheless, it can be done, and again, as Dave commented that earlier, you've got to just obviously make sure you connect the dots and look to work with the groups to integrate them. But it can be done.
Awesome. So moving along. So we have several topics that we're going to discuss for transforming your leadership character today. And so we're going to talk about what business leaders want, a few leadership patterns, lean thinking and agility tenets, leadership dispositions, leadership transformation, the plan, do, inspect, adapt cycle of continual learning. We're using Kanban as a visual radiator, retrospective, and we want you to be intentional. So at the end of this presentation, you know, we want you to be able to discern your leadership disposition, apply lean thinking and agility tenets so that you could improve your leadership. Use the plan, do, inspect, adapt for leadership transformation. Use Kanban as a visual radiator and limit WIP, and discover new areas to improve with retrospectives. We think those are really important for you as you go forward in transforming your leadership character. So we ask, what do business leaders want? And so as I've given this some thought, I think these are the key five areas that every organization really look for. They want to retain and increase margins. Right? They want to make as much money as they can and make sure not losing positions. They want to protect and expand brand loyalty. What's really paramount is that if you have a brand in the market space, they want to make sure that everyone still loves their product and everyone is pretty much sharing that idea in terms of sharing that idea with people in the market. They also want to attract and retain resilient leaders, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about you. And everyone, in my opinion, are a leader or is a leader and have the opportunity to be successful in that context. They want to practice agility so that they can inspect and adapt to situation and also provide the right value to customers at any point in time. And they also want to mitigate risks in the process. One thing I would like to say is that you as a resilient leader, and I say this openly because I think everyone has the opportunity and the potential to walk into that posture, is that as a resilient leader, you will practice agility. And by practicing agility, that helps you to retain an increased margin. And the only way you do that is by delivering great value to your customers. They also want to protect and expand brand loyalty, and that goes back to the same thing of building great products and providing great value to your customers. And manage risk. Yes, some people think because you practice agility that risk somehow walks out the door, but I say no, that's not true. You still have risk, especially when in basically that's one of the questions about where you have a blended environment where you have some people doing agile and some people not. You still, as a leader, have to find ways to mitigate those risks when you have to integrate. So I think as a resilient leader, these are the things that will help you be a game changer in the organization. And this is part of the dialogue today. So when I think of leadership, I came up with something, with a coined term or a definition of what leadership is. I said leadership is creating a psychologically safe space that allow people to self-organize and become emergent leaders while delivering value for customers and the organization. And this is not vastly different. I'm just being very specific about very specific things. You want to create a space where people are open. When I say psychologically safe, people could share their ideas without being, you know, hammered over the head and said, that's a dumb idea. And people are allowed to self-organize without having managers hover and tell them what to do. And that creates an opportunity for those leaders to emerge and step forward and become the leaders themselves within the organization, and also delivering value for customers and the organization. So we see those things as this is what leadership is. It is not always creating followers, and some people in the academic realm would define leadership as creating a space for followers. I'm saying no, create a space for leaders, for future leaders, so that they may emerge, so that you as a leader, it makes your job easier, and that's the whole point. So this is what I think of leadership. Where we take, even though we see people with boxes over their head, we said, hey, let's create a space. Let's make it open for people to go forward and become better. Curtis, what do you have to say about leadership?
Yeah, I think this is really actually a very powerful definition. As I kind of look at it from what does this translate to and how do you see it, I mean, this is ultimately eventually the culture. And you see that, the symptoms of the positives or not positive things in the culture. Like if you look at your picture there, the bags over the head, that's not a positive picture, of course. But essentially, you know, the idea of creating a safe space, I mean, I think that's an absolute. And I'm sure everyone on this podcast has been in places where they felt like it was not a safe place. And that's not a good, it's not a good organization to thrive in. And ultimately, safely creating a safe environment is actually something I think will come up a little bit later in the discussion around Agile, but this is a great definition. I like it, and I think it's spot on.
Thanks, Curtis. So let's move along. And so when we talk about leadership patterns, I'm looking at four typical leadership patterns. One of them is the assigned leader, where someone, and I think most of us are in this position, you know, we're assigned a role, and oftentimes we take on this posture that this is a position of authority and power. That's one leadership pattern. The next one is the emergent leader that I refer to in the definition of leadership, where we take the opportunity when presented and assume leadership positions. And this is where, you know, most times you go on a job interview and they say they want you to be a self-starter. This is what they're looking for. They're looking for an emergent leader to help make change in the organization. And then we also have adaptive leaders. So they respond according to whatever facts that are known or not known. They're just in a position that says, okay, here we have a scenario that we have to inspect and adapt. And that correlates back to a whole agile mindset. And my favorite, of course, is the servant leader, and who really focuses on the legitimate needs of individuals on the team. This is a great posture to have. So I just wanted to make sure that as we have these discussions today, that we think about how are these leadership patterns really play into the dialogue about transforming our leadership character. And with doing that, I believe that there are a certain amount of tenets that we have to follow that would really improve and then help us to be able to achieve that. So we're going to talk about lean thinking tenets. And I think there's six that I've identified, and there are many more in the house of lean, but I think there's these six that are really would really help you. And so we think about adding value, which is very important. We talk about value stream. And when I think of value stream, I'm thinking about the optimal and effective steps to achieve value. And we do this all the time. You know, when we're driving to work, we optimize how we get to work, the whole steps of getting there. So that's what a value stream is. We think of flow in terms of creating a stream of steady activities that are moving freely without being impeded by impediments, things that are blocking you. Paul, where what is really produced is really what the customer wants. And we all have customers when we're at work. We also want to eliminate waste and such that we really want to remove unneeded steps, unneeded work, and this is part of us becoming more effective as leaders. And the sixth one is continual improvement. And I use the word continual because we can't continuously do anything. Continually means that we could frequently engage in incremental positive change as humanly possible. And that's what I think of continual improvement. But the other side of the house that normally deals with teams and integration of teams of people is also the agility tenets. So we talk about transparencies, right, and really being able to provide visibility into what's taking place. We look at respect as a very emotional, intelligent expectation of oneself and others. I look at inspect, and we want to frequently review, you know, what's going on with our project, what's going on with ourselves, to make sure that we're moving toward the promised goals. We want to adapt, and really adjusting the process of activities to really meet the demand of change. We as individuals have to make some level of a commitment where we devoting time, energy, and resource to complete a specific task. Big on this is empiricism, where we talk about making decisions, and people would say, can you give me more information so I can make an informed decision? Well, yes, it's information and decision based on knowledge from experience, collecting data, making observations. These are all important elements of this tenet of empiricism, and it's the bedrock of agility. And the one that I think that transcend and go across both lean thinking and agility tenets is courage. And I say demonstrating strength and confidence in the face of adversity or uncertainty. I think sometimes it's hard for us to step forward and make a decision to bring about change in our life. But so with that, I have a question for the audience. And while they're answering, Curtis, you may want to jump in here and say a few things, but here's my question. I said, which of the following are not lean thinking or agility tenets? And Denise, you could work with the audience to really capture that information. Curtis, anything you want to add to lean thinking and agility tenets? How has this impacted your life? How is this touching you?
I think the key area that I tune into is the flow. And one of the things that I found is characteristics of just agility in general. Of course, we're saying lean tenets, but really flow in itself is a real key characteristic that goes throughout both. And what I'm referring to is just the organizational dynamics, the mechanics of how the organizations execute, how they get along, just really ultimately, are they in flow as a group? And that in itself is going to make a lot of difference to all of the rest, because you got to have the organization in flow, you got to have the individuals in flow, before you're going to be able to realize a lot of the benefits that, that you point out here. So that's probably the one that stands out. I could certainly comment on some of the others, but I'll leave it at that for now.
Okay. Denise, how are we doing with responses? Great.
Let's share some of those results.
Great. This is a great response. Yes, hope is not one of the things that we have with lean thinking or agility.
And hope is not a strategy either.
Yeah, that's right. Hope is not a strategy. Denise, how do I share again? Or am I still in control to move on?
Yes, give me a second.
Okay, show my screen. Show my second monitor. Okay, good. I have it. So, when I was thinking about this and I was writing the book, I thought about three leadership dispositions. And I think of the first one as a non-starter and finisher. We think of a quick starter and finisher. And I think of a resilient starter and finisher. Three different roles. And so as we go through the attributes, and these attributes are things that happen over time and just based on personal characteristics. I believe these three dispositions are things that we filter through as we're throughout our lifetime and throughout our experiences at work. You know, sometimes it could be an asset or a disadvantage to the organization, and I think it's momentary. I don't think that it's permanent, right? And so we can shift between these disposition states. I know I certainly do. I know sometimes I'm a non-starter, you know, and sometimes I could be a quick starter, and I try to work really hard to be in the resilient starter and finisher space. But these are the characteristics, these are the dispositions that I believe that leaderships and leaders fall into. And so when we talk about a non-starter and finisher, there are a certain amount of attributes that are not very positive, and so you can see that there are several attributes that I'll just call out a few, and I'll give you an example. So, you know, they demonstrate limited possibility of success. And sometimes we fall into that mind space where, oh, geez, you know, we're not going to be successful with this, and we're not putting forward the effort to do that. And sometimes it just lacks passion, and we all have those experiences. And then sometimes we just respond with apathy. So let me give you an example. And this is an extract. This is an extract from the book itself. And so I'll give you a scenario and some situations. So here's the situation. So we have a payroll system, and it crashed. And then so a non-starter and finisher sometime would respond with, the system always crashes. What do you want me to do to prevent the system from crashing? We may have to go back to doing payroll manually. Yeah, you know. And so you can see just from that one scenario, you know, there is this negative outlook, lack of passion, demonstrating limited possibility for success. So that's one example that I brought forward to make you, that you could see that sometimes we all fall into this space, because sometimes I may be negative in that way. The other leadership disposition that we look at is a quick starter and finisher, and they have some attributes. And I know sometimes people may look at this as it being completely negative, and I'm saying absolutely not. We're just being human. We're being real about this because we all have these characteristics. If we look deep enough, look in the mirror, and said, really? Yes, really. And so one key is that they jump into action to tackle an initiative, but lacks long-term staying power. That happens. Sometimes we declare victory prematurely before we even get to the finish line. And also, sometimes it's just the desire to want to please all the time, which could be, you know, not a very positive thing. Sometimes we have to have courage, one of the key tenets, to stand up and say, you know, no, this is the right way to go. Also, it's also some of the responses is to respond with reasons for failure. And sometimes we treat without taking corrective actions to improve. We throw our hands up in the air and we said, okay, we're not going to deal with this anymore. We're going to put this aside. But a typical example of the quick starter and finisher may respond to a similar situation. So here again, the system crashed, the payroll system crashed, and the organization is unable to meet payroll. And so basically a quick start and finish, you may say, hey, let's just send a Calvary to restart the system and see if the problem is resolved. So limited analysis, limited, you know, activity to go through to inspect and adapt, which are all key tenets of agility. And so the one that we all should strive for, do our best to get there, is the resilient starter and finisher. And the resilient starter and finisher is inspired by a unique vision to succeed in spite of challenges. And I think we all have that. At times, we're all aligned with goals of the organization. One thing is some of us are very visionary, and some of us are very persistent in our approach to getting things done. But one of the key factors that we look at is to respond with continual learning after failures. And that is one of part of the key tenets of lean thinking is continual improvement. That this is where we want to get to. This is how we become better leaders in the organization. And whether you are someone writing code or someone testing or someone gathering requirements or even doing finances, marketing, training, these dispositions, we all possess these disposition and could get better. But let me give you a scenario where and how a resilient starter and finisher would respond in the same thing. You know, so the system crashed and the organization was unable to meet payroll. So the response to that from a resilient starter and finisher, he says, let's fix the immediate issue and then identify how we ensure that this system doesn't crash in the future without our stakeholders knowing system health is in danger. So here it is, a very thoughtful, persistent approach to solving a problem within the organization. So those are the three different dispositions that I have come up with based on experience of working with different leaders, you know, over the years. And I believe that we all filter in and out of those different dispositions. And it's not, you know, sometimes we're negative, sometimes we're positive. It's just a fact of life. So I have a question for you, more engagement, right? Since this was a big topic for something to get your head around, and we're walking through this at a very quick pace, I wanted to answer two very important things. You know, identify, first of all, which one of the characteristics is closest to you or dispositions is closest to you. And then how about coworkers or leaders in your organization? You know, what are your experience with that? So, Denise, go ahead and really start to poll our participants. And then Curtis, jump on in. You know, how does this touch you? You know, you and I talked about this yesterday. So how is this, pulling? What string is it pulling in your heart right now, my friend?
Yeah, so, Dave and I actually had a chat about this particular area. So I was looking at the attributes. And what struck me was, you know, all of these different types of attributes, it really start with your mindset. And when I refer to mindset, I'm talking about, do you show up with a growth mindset or you show up with a fixed mindset? And the distinction here is a growth mindset is somebody who will embrace the opportunity, embrace the challenges, and actually step up and look for the positive in it and look for how to move forward and come up with a plan, much in the way as is described in the resilient starter and finisher. But the fixed mindset does creep in there, and periodically that's that inner monologue that you have with yourself. And it shows up in these other ways. And the other ways are obviously, I think, apparent to all of us, or at least to myself, I'm pretty sure most of you, probably not the ways we want to be seen or thought of. So, yes, these are attributes, the other two, non-starter and finisher and quick starter and finisher. At the same time, I think, though, we start with our internal monologue, look at our mindset, and that's where we're going to get some ideas of what kind of leader we will likely show up as eventually. And hopefully it's the latter of the lot, resilient starter and finisher.
Yeah, we would migrate to that pattern, and we see from our responses that, you know, a vast majority still see themselves as resilient starter and finishers, which is great. But how about the next question, Denise, in terms of, you know, how many see coworkers or leaders as having these dispositions as well? Let's get that out there. And I think, Curtis, it's really important that when we look at these three dispositions, that we look at them as being temporary, because we're in a continual learning and growth pattern. We're learning new things as we go forward. I mean, our goal is to become a resilient starter and finisher, But it's impossible. I say it's impossible for you to retain that state. You know, I know some leaders fake it till you make it, right? They put on a persona that I am always in a resilient state, but that's not always true. People struggle with this, and so, you know, it's good to see that we could have this dialogue openly with all of our participants. And, you know, streaming in, it seems like we have a lot of, you know, a lot of quick starters and finishers looking at those attributes. But equally, you know, we still have people who are resilient starters and finishers in the organization. So let's move on along. And, you know, we thank you so much for participating with us. And so how do we go about working through the process? Because I like to give people how-tos as opposed to just big theories. Even though I may start off with a theoretical position, I want to tell you how to get there. Yes?
Sorry to interrupt you. Can you show your screen, please, your second monitor?
I thought I did that. So, sure. Okay, it went back to something else. Sorry. How is that better?
Way better. You're good to go.
Can you see it now?
Yes, we're good.
Okay, good. So here are the things that I think that how do we make it happen? How do we go through this leadership transformation? And so I think we have to, first of all, identify these different areas that we want to improve, whether it's professionally, personally, or in a communal way. We have to establish a team of trusted advisors. I have a team of trusted advisors. I ask Curtis for advice all the time. Last month we had John Jorgensen with us. I asked him for advice. I asked my wife. I asked different people for advice. And so feedback into how do we improve is really critical. By applying the lean thinking and agility tenets really helps us to frame exactly how do we respond and how do we think about things. So I think as we think about value and continual improvement and flow and being transparent and inspect and adapt and having courage, those are the things that would help to help us with our leadership transformation as well. There's this whole thing that Deming came up with called plan, do, check, act. And I'm going like, yeah, but in today's day, we need to plan, do, inspect, and adapt for continual learning. Slightly different, but we're inspecting and adapting because we're being agile in the process. So we need a framework to help us go through the whole process of continual learning. So one thing is that part of the transformation, we want to apply lean thinking tenets for leadership transformation. That's one very key element to take on. So let's say that we're going to apply value stream, and continual improvement, those three elements, right? And say that those are the only three that we chose to use to get better. I think this is one way that we can start thinking, how do we add value to our organization? When we think of value stream, how do we optimize the steps that's going to get us there faster? And are we in continual improvement? Are we continually learning? Are we continually adding value back to the organization as some tenets that will get us there? The same thing with agility. I believe transparency is paramount, which enables us to make sure that all of the stakeholders, that include us as well, have an understanding of what's going on. I believe inspect and adapt are very critical as we go through that simple process. Curtis, do you have anything that you would like to chime in here about that? About applying some of these tenets and how this would affect your life, things that you're doing at work. If you took these six, you know, out of the 13 that I've identified, you know, how would this that's why I cleared it down, right? 13 is a lot. You know, we pick six.
Yeah, I think actually, you know, transparency is the one that stands out to me because it's so critical throughout the organization to build trust, of course, to see what's really happening. You know, the honest dialogue that happens inside of the inside of that framework is really, I think, for, you know, anyone that's looking for a place where they feel safe, they have to have that. And then, of course, you have that inside of your organization, there's a whole lot of other positive things that can happen. It's just, you know, pretty fundamental. You can say what you really think and do something about it without feeling like there's going to be some kind of negative consequences.
Or retribution. That's terrible stuff.
Yeah, that's the one that stands out to me. And I I practice that in my own world, and I look for that with my colleagues and teammates, and it actually makes it for a much more, it's a better work environment. Yeah.
Certainly healthy
yeah.
environment.
Yeah, much better.
Much
yeah.
healthy environment.
Yeah.
But in order for this to take place, I believe that we have to have a cycle of continual learning. And so adapting from Deming, I said we should plan to inspect and adapt. So we want to plan the transformation, because this is not something that you should do, we call nilly-willy, right? That we should take the time to plan the transformation that we hope to based on what we have identified as areas to improve. We also want to do the transformation activities. Whatever activities that we have identified in our planning stage, we said, hey, you know, we're doing this in a very agile way. We're going to do them in small increments. We're going to use Kanban as a way to get us there. And so we want to make sure that we do those transformational activities to improve our leadership character. We want to inspect the outcomes, right? Because there's no point in doing stuff and not knowing exactly, am I improving, am I not improving? Here are areas that I could get better. And also, we want to adapt. I think we have to adapt to make sure that we could look for continual improvement opportunities in the process. But when I think about this, sometimes I think about validators, you know, that we should think about as we go through this process. And when we're thinking about validators, about the work that we're doing to improve our character, I said, these are things that Curtis and I are involved with this Five Saturdays program. And I lifted these three questions from that program that I coined last summer. And I said, hey, look, what do I want to learn today? You know, what did I learn today? And how will I use the new knowledge to change my life? And we use this with high school students to help them improve. And so what I'm saying to you is think about this. As we plan, do, inspect, adapt, you know, how do we validate that by asking the right questions? And so I wanted to look at how we apply this using Kanban as a radiator to make sure that we can visually see and limit the work that we're involved with. So I want you to think about this. How will you plan to inspect, adapt to transform your leadership character as we move on to Kanban as a visual radiator? So one thing about a Kanban, and it's easy to do. You know, all what you need is a big piece of white paper, some blue painter's tape, and a few Sharpies or markers, and some Post-it sticky notes, and away you go, right? It's not hard to do. And so what this does as a visual radiator is just help you to manage activities transparently. And we talk about transparency as being one of the key elements of the agility tenet. Right? We want to limit work in progress, which is a lean thinking principle. And we want to make sure we have priorities. Right? We don't want to try to do 10 things at a time. We do one thing at a time. And so as you can see in our Kanban, our sample Kanban, I lifted this out of my book as well, is that if you notice, as we go from to-do, doing, which is in progress and done, we have only one thing in the in-progress column. And so the reason that we have that is such that we're not trying to do 100 things at the same time. If we focus and start something and finish it, then we have a lot more time to go back and pick up the next thing and be successful and give us the time to be reflective. Curtis, what do you got to say?
Yeah, I really get it, and I love Kanban. I think the interesting thing is I'm seeing it used at work more often, walking by different offices and seeing people using their own personal Kanban. I have one in my office, and it's really interesting psychologically when you go, if you look at the left there, you've got three items there, but typically your to-do is going to be much bigger than that.
Yeah.
But I think it's the doing and the in-progress that really, you know, hits me. When I look at that one, I know that that's what I'm really actually committed to doing. And I ignore what's in the to-do. And so it kind of gives you that ability to focus. And then, of course, at the end, you want to look off to the right and see a bunch of, in the case of my Kanban, I have a bunch of stickies, which is usually what most people do. And then you start to see those rack up. Really gratifying, and I agree, the visual is, it's a refreshing change from what we usually try to do, which are a lot of lists. A lot of things written on paper, and those things get lost. But this visual in particular really, I think, is honed in not only myself, but then, of course, Kanban for a group is a whole other bigger, broader conversation, and we can maybe go through that another time. But that's what that's doing for me, and it's a big help.
I have one in my house. It drives my wife nuts. Take that thing down, she says. But you know, once you get to, after you leverage the Kanban board as a way to identify activities to be done, activities that are in progress, and activities that are finished, I said we need to use retrospective as a way to look back, see exactly how well we're doing. And so this is a way, if you build a team of trusted advisors and you're working together to transform your leadership character, I said that we could collaborate and really engage people to help us through this process, help us to continually improve. We get into this thing of how do we learn continually, and it helps us to just learn at a very consistent pace, right, in a very steady, sustainable pace. So here is one simple example of how we could do a retrospective technique, and it's similar to using Kanban, right? It's we still have four columns, but differently, we can say, like, what are the things that are really going well, right? And we said, this is a happy face. That's making me laugh and make me feel good. So we built a team. You know, what are the things that are making me sad that are not really working well for me? Well, I would want to have more people from different parts of the country. And I said, what is my light bulb moment? What is that aha or question that I may have? And you could see that I want to try this transformation personally at home and with my family. And I've interviewed people who have had great success with using retrospective and Kanban in their family life. But also, the thing is, what do I want to be thankful for? And people that I want to acknowledge for, you know, how they've helped me through the process. And you can see, you know, so someone is to say, hey, thank you for letting me be part of the team. Something as simple as that, you know, that you apply as a leader really makes a difference. So I wanted to just call this out, that this is, you know, not only do you have these lean and agility tenets to help you, you use a Kanban board to walk you through the process, because we have these dispositions that are lurking in our mind in these quiet moments that we do have, and we have retrospective. We want to work as a team to get there. Now, I want to ask the team another question. Let's talk about the cycle of continual learning. Let's see if you're paying attention. Curtis, how does this strike you in terms of being able to leverage retrospective as a way to improve our leadership character?
You know, retrospective, and for anyone that has actually done a bit of Agile and done a retrospective, it's very similar to actually any methodologies, getting together and doing a lessons learned might be the waterfall equivalent. But what's really key to this is that it's an honest dialogue. And I think one thing that's unique in framing the happy, sad, light bulb and the recognition part is it gives everybody an opportunity to be authentic and say what they really mean, put it in that box, and then look at it collectively as a group without the judgments. I mean, it just goes in a box and you look at that. Where did things work? Where did things not work? And how do we make them better? So it's one way, I think, to help if in the case of a lesson learned, it could be done there. And also clearly retrospective in the Agile community. We're doing this, and it just makes it a much easier, honest, and authentic dialogue between the teammates and then, of course, the team lead.
So, Denise, how are we doing with responses so far? Awesome. I think you guys are paying attention because 82% say we plan to do an inspect adapt. That's a wonderful place to be. Denise, so can I have control again? Thank you. All right. I think I'm sharing again. And in order for us to be successful, I think we have to be intentional. We have identified several techniques that we could use, but in order for us to be successful, we must be intentional. We need to remain focused on the prize. We need to think big, right, about sustaining this transformation, because I think this is critical, not only for our professional life, but for our personal life, and also for our community. I'm a big community person. I'm very much involved with my community, and so is Curtis. I think that we have to think about this in a very big way. We have to understand, you know, frequently monitor what's going on with us. And that's what we're talking about, retrospectives. And the timing of this, you know, you could set up, you know, a time box of about 1 week And every week you're checking in to see exactly where you are, whether it's like a Thursday or a Friday of the week, that you can just check in and say, you know, how am I doing so far? You know, and this is an opportunity for you to meet up with your trusted advisors as well to have this discussion.
I can add to that, Dave. You know, that dialogue you're describing, you know, that perpetual recurring effort for just our own self-talk, how are we showing up? Again, a little bit earlier I made mention of the idea of mindset. And as Dave pointed out, hey, it's going to shift one day. You know, sometime it'll be not so positive, but perpetually having a conversation with yourself, perpetually having a conversation with the people in your trusted circle, and all honest, obviously in the spirit of just, you know, being a better human being and adding more value to your own life and the people and the organizations around you.
And that's perfect, Curtis. And after all you're done, share this new knowledge with others. Talk about your transformation. Share this with your friends. Think about, hey, you know, I once was this, but now I am something else.
And hopefully they're seeing that.
Yes, that wouldn't that be an amazing thing?
Yeah, that might not even have to share it because they're seeing it and then maybe acknowledging it along the way. That's, of course, a nice thing to have happen.
Yeah, and if you're doing this at work, one awesome thing is to, if someone at work would allow you to use some wall space, you could actually go through a visible transformation publicly in the office space. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be something.
That wouldn't that be something? If you're courageous enough.
Yeah.
But in summary, I want you to think about, let's leverage lean thinking to guide our leadership transformation. Let's think about how we do that. Look at where are you in the process of your leadership disposition. Are you a non-starter and finisher, a quick starter or finisher, or a resilient starter and finisher? You know, understand where you are because you need a baseline and to figure out how do you improve to get better. Leverage a plan to inspect, adapt for continual learning because this gives us a flow of work to do. And be intentional. It's important for us to be intentional about doing this because I know when I'm trying to get in shape, but I'm always working out. I know sometimes I just get into a space where, I'm not working out today. We all do that. I'm going to go eat that big bowl of ice cream. It happens. So I said be intentional about the process. Leverage our Kanban board as a visual radiator and to limit work in progress. This gives us visually, it helps us to work with others so we can see what's going on. Retrospective, we have to look back and think about how do we improve on a continual basis. And this is important in leadership. And I believe that if whether you are in an assigned role where you're the big guy in the house or you're one of the people who are on an entry level, you have an opportunity to transform your leadership over time. And incrementally, you will get better. One thing I said, hey, think big. You know, I think we should essentially think big of how do we get to where we have to get to. And so to wrap this up, I think we may only have time for one or two questions, but the thing is that if you have questions, go ahead and send them in, and we will select three questions and respond to you in our next podcast. And also, I may even send out an email letting you know that it's also on my blog on nalshire.org. So any questions, Denise? We have time for maybe one or two.
We sure do. Let's see here. Chris would like to know if Agile can be used with project teams that are not co-located.
Can Agile be used with teams that are not co-located? I would say yes. Matter of fact, we do it today. I have teams that I work with in India, China, where else? Canada. My gosh, some Australia, sometimes, and it's a challenge. It's definitely a huge challenge to try to coordinate all of these teams and make sure that there's alignment between the teams. But I think the importance is that you allow each location to be its own unique team. And when you integrate on different parts of the system that you're building or product, you know, and to make sure that things are flowing in the right way. Curtis, you have something to weigh in?
Yeah, add to that really quickly. I mean, we've got developers offshore. I think that's a pretty common model these days. And just as Dave said a moment ago, one of the ways that we kind of create that synergy of team is we do have somebody who's local that we look to kind of be that, you know, that leader on site. So you have the, at least a person on site there at the co-location who can evangelize and, of course, promote the principles we're talking about. So that's probably the key, to have somebody at the local site. Now, if you have one or two people, it's a little bit harder, but that's still ultimately, I think, put the onus on at least one person to kind of to be in that role to champion the ideas that we're really trying to do here with the teamwork and the Agile model.
Yeah, and that's a very interesting way to approach that too, right? Good way. Yeah. Anything else, Denise, for another question?
Yes. So it says here, we typically build business-to-business websites for clients. We use the waterfall methodology. Can you apply Agile to website development, or is that only specific to products or apps?
Yeah. You know, that's a very good question. You could apply Agile tenets and principles to anything. Matter of fact, if you look at some of, you know, think of Amazon.com. They're very an Agile-based organization. They leverage these tenets and principles there. Google used modified forms of lean thinking to do that. Many, many organizations throughout the world leverage agility as a way to solve problems and to really bring teams together, build alignment. To me, one of the key things that I see, I would say two key things that I see with agility is collaboration and alignment. Those two key values allow teams to work very well together. So it really doesn't matter if you're using it for building web application. We use it in our Five Saturdays program where we teach kids. We actually are running a class using Agile and Scrum as a way to organize and integrate people. So, you know, and lean thinking. So you could use this even in community practices. We're 8:54. I think we need to move on so we can get through the rest of our slides, Denise, in 6 minutes, so you can wrap up with your preamble. Please feel free to send your questions. We'll select three or four, and we'll play them back again next month in May for our next webinar, which is Coaching Agile Leaders. Denise? Let me go ahead and wrap up my part of it. Sorry about that. And so, look, go to knowledgeshare.org. And you can learn much about the services that we provide in terms of looking at an Agile assessment, training, and coaching. We also buy the book. We have the book, Transforming Your Leadership Character, The Lean Thinking and Agility Way, which is what this presentation is based on. You can go to Amazon.com and pick the book up. It's only $9.99.
And it's a really good read. I'm just telling you that myself. I read it myself. It's a good book. Pretty good book.
Yeah, I made Curtis buy it.
it's a good book. Pretty good.
We also have a game out that really supports the book, and it's called Agility Leader Shift. Get that at www.knowledgeshare.org, and you can buy a copy there. We ask you that you get out there and support our Five Saturdays program. We're out there in the community teaching kids agility. We're teaching software development. Teaching them how to just stand up and take control of their own lives. So if you want to donate and you feel that you may want to be a learning facilitator, or maybe you may even want to start a Five Saturdays in your community, feel free to go out to www.fivesaturdays.org and add some information there. We run a podcast as well, and so you can go to grokshare.com. We talk to different industry professionals. We essentially take also this webinar and share it back through our podcast as well. So you can go to www.grokshare.com. And here's our contact information. Just go out there and reach out to us if you have any questions directly via Twitter, via email. And before you go, Denise, I'd just like to say thank you so much to the audience who signed up today and put the time in to learn something new to really improve and transform your leadership character. I'll see you next month.
Look for the KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave podcast on iTunes and Google Play. The KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave podcast is hosted on grokshare.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Dave, reach out on Twitter at Dr. Dave Info or at KnowledgeShare.
You rock share.
I rock it and I'll share. Every day, every day. Until next time, pursue goodness, share, and learn.